You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Pie Day, Tony. What's your favorite pie? Tony Kornheiser, the one named after me, Cutie Pie. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did. At least you didn't say pumpkin pie. It's just boring.
I hate pumpkin pie.
Sweet
now,
potato pie.
I could have said pizza pie, which is how it is referred to in some places. Pizza pie.
Yeah, not where I grew up. Not pizza
pie.
That's a New York thing. Is that a New York thing? Pizza pie?
The pizza where you grew up, that deep dish stuff. Get it out of here.
We don't eat that. You don't know anything about the Midwest. Stop it. We don't eat that. I never eat deep.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls.
Thin crust.
In today's episode, Joel Embiid scores 70. The coach of the Timberwolves is upset, and Jeff Saturday joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the Milwaukee Bucks firing head coach Adrian Griffin a little more than halfway through his first season. The Bucks are 30-13. They're in second place in the East, but they've struggled defensively. Multiple reports have Doc Rivers as the leading candidate for this opening. Wilbon, what do you make of this? Did Griffin get enough of a chance?
Man, Tony, it's a tough situation because they changed the team over and they made this one particular move that you know in real time in the summer. I remember calling you up saying, this is insane to get rid of Jrue Holiday. I love Dame Lillard. Love him. But Jrue Holiday, he anchored your defense as much as Giannis or as much as Brooke Lopez. And they got rid of him. And they want to maintain a great defense, which, by the way, in the month of January was 27th, I'm told, in the league. 27th. So Adrian Griffin didn't have a chance there. Terry Stotts, who was hired to be an assistant coach, has been a head coach and a successful one for a long time. He lasted until like Labor Day. And then Terry was gone. So now you don't have that savvy veteran on the bench with your rookie head coach, which Adrian Griffin was. There were problems at the start, Tony. And now it's interesting because our dear friend Doc Rivers is mentioned. A year or so ago, I'm sitting in that arena in Milwaukee and I look up and Doc Rivers' jersey's in the rafters. Yes, like Larry Bird in Boston Garden because Doc led Marquette. Doc's been a trustee at Marquette. Doc's a big deal in Milwaukee. I can see why they would want him. Right. And I was like, Doc, you got a coach here at one point. You're in the rafters already. I was joking. Maybe it's not a joke. I don't know whether it's the right move. It's a risky move and a bold one.
Let's look at the numbers for a second. Let's repeat the numbers. They are 30-13 right now. They're in second place in the Eastern Conference. They have the third best record overall. And you go to this guy and they go, you fired? Really? There's only one conclusion, Mike. Only one. That Giannis Antetokounmpo and maybe Damian Lillard said, get rid of this guy. This has happened before. Magic Johnson, your good friend, said, get rid of Paul Westhead. It was a year and change after a championship. They were 54-28 and then 7-4. And Magic Johnson said, get him out of here. LeBron James, David Black. Get them out of here. And they were 30-11. I don't understand why they fired Budenholzer when they did, because they were 58-24. You know what they need in Milwaukee? They need an owner like Jerry Jones, because he doesn't actually fire people. And in terms of Doc, he just traded Embiid for Antetokounmpo. He traded no rings for one ring, and he can always go back in the booth.
If he goes, Tony, let me mention this real quickly. If he goes, still a big if. But, Tony, they did this to appease Giannis. Giannis is not a get-somebody-out-of-here guy. But if you listen to his comments, post-game comments in recent weeks, you looked at this and said, wow, man. And I know you did because we talked about it.
He said everything but get rid of this guy.
To salvage this season, Tony,
that it wasn't
they
working.
Can't beat Boston. They can't. They probably can't beat Philadelphia at this point. They can't beat Indiana, for God's sake. All right.
Let's stay with the NBA. Your boy Joel Embiid scored 70 points last night as the 76ers beat the Spurs 133-123. The 70 points are the most ever for the Sixers franchise. Embiid becomes the ninth NBA player ever to score 70 or more, and the third center alongside Will Chamberlain and David Robinson. Embiid got his 70 in just 37 minutes. Embiid called this, quote, a great night. Wilbon, what would you call it?
It was a great night. It was a great night. You can have great nights in the regular season that are special nights. Anytime you mention those, two centers, Tony, but when your name is up there among the people who have scored 70, and it also has Wilt's name like six times, it's a great night and a special night. It is. It doesn't mean anything for April, May, and June, which is what ultimately Joel Embiid is going to be judged by, just like every great player in the NBA. You're judged by what you do in the postseason, and that's fair. But this was great. I said yesterday on this fine program, I wasn't even going to watch that game. And then at some point, Matthew says to me, Dad, Embiid's got 52 at the end of three. And I go, give me the clicker. I got to watch that.
Yeah.
And it was worth watching, Tony. It was fun. It was a great night. No more, no less. You put your name up there with Wilt. That's a pretty good night. You know that. Wilt is one of your all-time faves.
Yeah, I'm going to get to Wilt right now. I'm going to get this off my chest right now. I understand that technically, this is the most points ever scored by the Philadelphia 76ers franchise. But let's not pretend that people haven't seen one of the great sports photographs of all time, which is Wilt Chamberlain holding up a white piece of paper with the number 100 on it, wearing a Philadelphia jersey. P-H-I-L-A. Now, I understand they were the Warriors, and I understand they moved and they went to San Francisco. But Wilt Chamberlain went over 70 or more three times in Philadelphia, including 100, which is 30 more than Embiid. All right, I want to get to something else. I want to get to your mistake in saying, I don't want to watch this game because Embiid and Wembanyama aren't going to be out there together too much. I'm going to watch the Bulls. I watch the Bulls, who lost.
That was a great game.
So how does that taste? I'm going to tell you this one thing, Mike. I believe that Embiid was very aware that he was playing against Wembanyama for the first time. And he wanted to welcome him to the NBA. Yeah. I'm not saying he thought he would get 70. But when he got 70, he basically said, hi, kid, let me know when you can do that. Okay? And it was a great – and I'm critical of Embiid all the time. Not now.
Yes.
Not now.
Yeah. But Embiid was gracious, Tony, afterward. He's been gracious every night this season, and people get upset with him for being that way. Stop. Embiid is great for basketball and great for sport. And there's no other opinion that matters. For a while, it seemed like Embiid might not be the only dude getting the 70 last night. Carl Anthony Towns had 44 by halftime in Minnesota, but struggled late, finished with 62. The Timberwolves blew an 18-point lead and lost at home to the Hornets, leading to pointed postgame comments from T-Wolves coach Chris Finch.
It was an absolute disgusting performance of defense and immature basketball. We totally disrespected the game ourselves, and we got exactly what we deserved.
Tony, what do you hear Finch saying here?
I hear him echoing Herm Edwards. I hear him asking, why do we play the game? And I hear him saying, we play to win the game. And I hear him saying to Karl Anthony Towns, are you happy now? You got 62 points. You got more points than anybody who's ever worn a Timberwolves jersey. You're in the record books. Are you happy? Does this work? Because we just lost to a team that was 9-31 and playing on the road. We just lost to a team that had lost 7 out of 8 and 16 of 18. We just lost to a team where we had an 18-point lead with less than a minute to go in the third quarter. You know, so is everybody happy? Is Karl Anthony Towns happy? And, Mike, this is risky. I agree 100% with the coach. But I don't know how Karl Anthony Towns is going to hear this because I think it was mostly aimed at him. I don't know if this is going to cause a big divide. I don't know if it's going to hurt that relationship.
Tony, a great and fair and necessary point to make. But Finch also knows that team. And you know, every year I would talk about the T-Wolves majoring in dumb. And it stopped being That's dumb, right. and it was knuckleheadedness, and it stopped being knuckleheadedness mostly because Anthony Edwards became the best player on that team. And Karl Anthony Towns seemed happy to follow him. And they are better. They've been the best team in the West, the best conference all season. This was a step back, and Finch doesn't want to see that, Tony. He doesn't want to see this team. They're not going to be a threat if they go back to majoring in dumb to Denver. They're right. not going to be a threat to right. even Oklahoma City if they go back to majoring in dumb. And Finch is saying, no, no, no. We're not, we can't go back to this. And then to what you said, this is what you guys want to see? It was largely aimed at Karl Anthony Towns, but not entirely. But Anthony Edwards is not going to let that happen.
He was,
yes,
he was 2 for 10 in the fourth quarter. They squandered a lead. And
yes.
He's a smart guy. I don't know how sensitive yes. he is, but if he's real sensitive, this could cause a problem down the road. Let's take a break. Coming up, family members of Cowboys players are beefing on social media. What? We're going to ask Jeff Saturday about that.
Speaking of problems down the road, we'll also ask him what he thinks should happen when an offensive player fumbles through the end zone. Tony, Anthony Edwards is going to make the difference. He's the best player now, and Cat has to follow him. I don't think it'll be a big rip.
No.
I don't.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
Let's dig into the NFL with our great friend, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. Let's start with this, Jeff. C.D. Lamb's mother, and I'm going slowly because this is remarkable to me. C.D. Lamb's mother and Dak Prescott's brother got into it on social media, and Micah Parsons' brother also weighed in as a player. How do you deal with family members who are speaking out and maybe causing things to get gummed up?
Oh, the drama. Wait, what did Dynasty, Dallas, like all the shows that I grew up watching, like that you couldn't DVR, that you had to wait the next week, who shot JR, the whole deal. Like, this is where we are in Dallas again. Like, the drama, the intensity. Listen, this is a big deal, a much bigger deal than most people want to make it. It's tough enough to win. And you're under a microscope, an enormous microscope, especially in Dallas. When everything's aligned, it's difficult to win. Now you bring in this nonsense, it is difficult to get over. They need to come in. Everybody needs to have a hug it out session, air the grievances, whatever it is, and move on. Because this stuff festers in locker rooms. It can be a tough thing to overcome when you hit a tough skid during the season.
Man, just imagine the simplicity of overcoming an opponent compared to this craziness.
For
Jeff,
real.
I want to ask you about something Josh Allen said. He talked about the not being particularly worried, at least not yet, the Bills' title window. has closed. He's not worried. And title window talk to me is media conversation only. I wasn't in, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I didn't hear players talking about that. Am I wrong about that? Is that maybe it has evolved to that? Do players actually consider the window of opportunity that may be closing?
Absolutely not. Players never, to you are 100% right. The media, you know, they create this thing. They see it. But let me help you. Josh Allen is the window. So, like, until he leaves, that window ain't closed because he's a dude. Like, you can critique him. You can say he turns it over. He does these things. But guess what? They win a lot of games. They've won a lot of AFC East championships, which means they're going to be in the playoff and they're going to be in the hunt. So, in any window closing until that dude packs it up and leaves Buffalo.
We got one sort of strategic, or no, it'd be a rule question we want to run past you. Mecole Hardman's fumble, of course, through the end zone, renewed the debate over whether there should be a touchback in those situations. And we hear now that owners plan to review it. You know, I personally just want the ball to come back to the offense like it was knocked out of bounds any other play. Where do you stand on this, Jeff?
Oh, I am 100% in agreement with you. It's the craziest to me. And Dominique Foxworth and I argue about this because he's defense and I get it. But this whole idea that nobody controls it because it goes out a foot further in the end zone, that we're going to give it to the other team and take it out 25 yards. No, I'm with you. Unless there is full control, that ball should go back to the offense. Call it like it is. It rolled out of bounds. Wherever he last had control over it, spot the ball there. I am with you. I think it's a crazy rule that has gone on way too long, and it definitely needs to change.
I'll just mention this, that as a result of that rule, that canceled out the terrible call on the fake punt that Buffalo had done earlier. So they started even. Let's get out of here on this. We have great games this weekend. We have the Lions at the 49ers. We got the Chiefs at the Ravens. Now, it's only Tuesday, but where are you leaning now in these games?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, obviously as the week goes on, you're going to see injuries with Deebo Samuel. I would say NFC-wise, I'm probably leaning a little bit more towards the Lions at this point, especially if Samuel cannot play. And I think the matchups, like the 49ers, their front has got to get some pressure. And I know Decker and Penei Sewell on the edges of the Lions are going to be a key matchup against Bosa out there. So there's a lot going on in that world, right, for me. So I'm going to lean that way. And the AFC, I think it's the Ravens. And listen, this has been arguably the best team in the NFL all season. I don't see that changing. Patrick Mahomes is an absolute stud, and you never give, you know, you take the Chiefs out of it. But if the Ravens play to their level, I don't think that the Chiefs can match that. If they play to the level that the Ravens can, they're the best team that's going to play. So for me, that's my lean right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, I will point out again, it's Tuesday. We'll call you Sunday morning, see if the lead is the same. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Heat trade away Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, big deal. Coco Gauff survives one challenge and now faces another in the semis of the Australian Open. Tony, Jeff and I can see the Brooklyn Bridge. We are right underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. You're Mr. New York. You're not close to us where you can see the Brooklyn Bridge.
I can't right now.
And the interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 34th birthday, Lavonte David. The Tampa Bay linebacker is out of the playoffs now, but he had a stellar game against the Lions. He had 13 tackles, including 9 solo tackles, and a sack of Jared Goff. This season, David had 134 tackles, 17 tackles for a loss, and 4.5 sacks in 15 games. He's the only player in the NFL this season with at least 130 tackles, 4 sacks, and 15 tackles for a loss. David is one of only 9 players since 1999 to total at least 130 total tackles and 15 tackles for loss in one season. And he's done that 4 times. David is second in the NFL in tackles since entering the league in 2012 out of Nebraska as a second-round pick by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, despite all that, linebackers used to be, great linebackers used to be football celebrities, football royalty. That's not the case anymore. I don't know this guy. I wouldn't know him if he had a just his face and no helmet on, no jersey. I wouldn't know him. Fred Warner's another one. They're great linebackers, but they're not celebrated as great linebackers. We just celebrate quarterbacks. That's all we care about anymore in this culture.
Happy anniversary, Buffalo Bills. On this day 30 years ago, the Bills pounded the Chiefs 30-13 in Orchard Park to win their 4th straight AFC championship. It wasn't Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes then. It was even better. It was Jim Kelly for Buffalo and Joe Montana starting for Kansas City, where he went after the 49ers. The Bills remain the only team to play in 4 consecutive Super Bowls. They lost all 4, which is why they're always referred to as long-suffering. The Patriots played in 3 consecutive Super Bowls, 2016, 2017, 2018. They went to 8 straight AFC championship games from 2011 to 2018. Kansas City now in its 6th straight AFC title game.
Well, the Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins, the great Dolphins teams in the 70s, they went to 3 consecutive Super Bowls. Not 4, but they did go to 3. And that clip with Thurman Thomas, always great to me. I ran into Thurman Thomas in Dublin at a football game, Tony. How about that? You wouldn't think, I don't mean Dublin, Ohio either. I mean Ireland.
I love the way you drop names on this show.
You like that one? That was smooth.
Happy trails to the Heat for Kyle Lowry. Miami traded their veteran guard and a future first rounder to the Charlotte Hornets for Terry Rozier. Rozier is averaging 23 points a game. Lowry was averaging 8. Rozier has higher assist and rebound numbers, and he's 8 years younger than Lowry. Wilbon, this seems like a steal for Miami. What am I missing here?
Well, they must care about the draft pick they got, a first rounder. But Tony, you put Terry Rozier in that lineup. Uh-oh, here comes Miami. I mean, when you got Bam playing like he's been playing and Jimmy Butler going into playoff Jimmy mode, I mean, come on now. Miami's a bigger threat with him now than they were a minute ago.
Omissions. The Titans are reportedly hiring Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan as their head coach. Bears hired Shane Waldron as their offensive coordinator. I'd love to hear you talk, but we got to move to the big finish very quickly.
Let's do it.
If we can. Coco Gauff struggled, but advanced to the Aussie Open semis. Your thoughts?
She's now going to face Sabalenka, whom Coco beat to win the U.S. Open. Good rematch there. The Eagles are reportedly parting ways with offensive coordinator Brian Johnson. What does that mean, Tom?
I think it means Sirianni is staying, or they'd have announced that. The NBA suspended Tristan Thompson of the Cavs for 25 games for failing a banned substance test. Your reaction?
Maybe it's just time to have the microphone, Tristan. You're getting pretty darn good at that. Baseball Hall of Fame inductees in minutes. Who's getting in, Tony?
Adrian Beltre and Joe Mauer, I'd put in. Last
my
one.
Man Gary Sheffield.
LeBron is out for Lakers-Clippers tonight. You're disappointed, aren't you?
Very, Tony. The Lakers are still playing around in the play-in, play-out spot. They got to be careful. They got to win some games. That's a big loss.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Kyle Lowry, Tony, won a championship for Toronto. Has had quite...
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.